ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 9, Texts 27 and 28, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Text 27 has no purport, so we'll chant the Sanskrit of verse 28.
Evam sura sura gana samadesha kala. Hit Varta Karma Matayo Pipale Vikalpaha. Tatram Ritam Suragarna Palamanjasapur. Yat Pada Pangajaraja Shayananda Daityaha. Evam sura sura gana samadesha kala. Hit vartha karma matayo pipale vikalpaha. Tatram ritang sura gana phalam anjasapur. Yat pada pankaja raja shayananda daityaha.
First, I'll read the translation of text 27. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the best friend and well-wisher of the three worlds. Thus, when the demigods had almost finished drinking the nectar, the Lord, in the presence of all the demons, disclosed his original form. Then, text 28, the place, the time, the cause, the purpose, the activity, and the ambition were all the same for both the demigods and the demons. But the demigods achieved one result and the demons another. Because the demigods are always under the shelter of the dust of the Lord's lotus feet, they could very easily drink the nectar and get its result. The demons, however, not having sought shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord, were unable to achieve the result they desired. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita it is said, Yeyata mang prapadyante tangs tathaiva bhajamyaham. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the supreme judge who rewards or punishes different persons according to their surrender unto his lotus feet. Therefore, it can actually be seen that although karmis and bhaktas may work in the same place, at the same time, with the same energy and with the same ambition, they achieve different results. The karmis transmigrate through different bodies in the cycle of birth and death, sometimes going upward and sometimes downward, thus suffering the results of their actions in the karma chakra, the cycle of birth and death. The devotees, however, because of fully surrendering at the lotus feet of the Lord, are never baffled in their attempts. Although externally they work almost like the karmis, the devotees go back home, back to Godhead, and achieve success in every effort. The demons or atheists have faith in their own endeavors, but although they work very hard day and night, they cannot get any more than their destiny. The devotees, however, can surpass the reactions of karma and achieve wonderful results even without effort. It is also said, Palena Parichiyate, one's success or defeat in any activity is understood by its result. There are many karmis in the dress of devotees, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead can detect their purpose. The karmis want to use the property of the Lord for their selfish sense gratification, but a devotee endeavors to use the Lord's property for God's service. Therefore, a devotee is always distinct from the karmis, although the karmis may dress like devotees. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, yagyarthat karmano nyatra loko yang karma bandhanaha. One who works for Lord Vishnu is free from this material world, and after giving up his body, he goes back home, back to Godhead. A karmi, however, although externally working like a devotee, is entangled in his non-devotional activity, and thus he suffers the tribulations of material existence. Thus, from the results achieved by the karmis and devotees, one can understand the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who acts differently for the karmis and gyanis than for the devotees. The author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita therefore says, Krishna bhakta nishkam ataiv shanta bhukti mukti siddhi kami shakali ashanta. The karmis who desire sense gratification, the gyanis who aspire for the liberation of merging into the existence of the Supreme, and the yogis who seek material success in mystic power are all restless, and ultimately they are baffled. But the devotee who does not expect any personal benefit and whose only ambition is to spread the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is blessed with all the auspicious results of bhakti yoga without hard labor. Some very important points are made here in the verse and in the purport. I'm going to pick up on one of them in particular because it summarizes. I'm going to pick up on one statement, yeah, but it summarizes much of what I've been saying in the last few days. Srila Prabhupada writes, there are many karmis in the dress of devotees, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead can detect their purpose. The karmis want to use the property of the Lord for their selfish sense gratification, but a devotee endeavors to use the Lord's property for God's service. Therefore, a devotee is always distinct from the karmis, although karmis may dress like devotees. This isn't a very pleasant subject. Of course, in Krishna consciousness, everything is pleasant, but this is more like an unpleasant duty to discuss such things. It is our duty to discuss such things because Srila Prabhupada did, and clearly he was giving a warning. Now, I suspect that Srila Prabhupada particularly had in mind one of his godbrothers here, who he sometimes referred to, who Srila Prabhupada, referring to him, said that this godbrother thought, I started this institution, namely the Gauriya Math, with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, who has now passed away, so I was the junior partner and now I become the proprietor. He had this mentality. Srila Prabhupada saw him like that, and actually many of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers also saw it like that, that he wasn't really, this godbrother wasn't very devotional, but that Srila Prabhupada includes it in his purport, in his Srimad Bhagavatam, this statement, it's a warning to us, which we should discuss, because Sangat Sanjayate Kamaha. We our desires develop largely according to our association. And we join the International Society for Krishna Consciousness or we should do if we're trying to be devotees, to avail of the holy association. I was just hearing yesterday, Srila Prabhupada, there's a verse in the third canto, not the famous Satang Prasangam Mamavirya Sangvido, but there's another verse which speaks of the value of association with devotees, and Srila Prabhupada stated at the beginning of this class, after reciting the verse, that this is the mission of the Krishna consciousness movement. So it's meant to... Srila Prabhupada himself gave his association, and he created other devotees who could give association to others. So we come to this society for good association and to avoid bad association. But when we hear this, that there are many kamis in the dress of devotees, we may become very afraid that is someone sitting next to me, a karmi, in the dress of a devotee. Actually, we should think, maybe I'm a karmi in the dress of a devotee. But then we have to look at our heart and see. It's like now this coronavirus, fear is there, so people are afraid to mix with others because they're afraid that if I get too close, we don't know whether he's got the coronavirus, I might get it. Then I'll be finished. Now, how can we know? Just by looking at someone, you can't tell if they have coronavirus or not. So by looking at a devotee, what Srila Prabhupada is warning here is that just by looking at a devotee, you might think, oh, how can you know who is a devotee? Well, they wear a certain kind of dress, they wear this tilak. But Prabhupada is pointing out here, no. You have to see the symptoms of their character and their behavior. It may not be so easy to understand, especially if someone is pretending to be a devotee for an ulterior purpose. They're making a very good show of being a devotee. Now, I was talking in the last few days, one of the things I was discussing about how we see the presentation of our movement is increasingly becoming secular. No Krishna. I cited an advertisement I'd seen, a poster of ISKCON such and such presents yoga, burns fat, tones the body, relieves all physical and mental stress. So we just imagine if we show this to Prabhupada. Actually, it's unimaginable because no one would have imagined doing such a thing in Srila Prabhupada's presence. And Srila Prabhupada's anger was not relishable to be on the receiving end of. And why would you do that anyway? Because we already left all those things. Similarly, poster advertisement for a leadership seminar and given by a leader of ISKCON, which says determination, delegation, facilitation, and that's all. There's no sign of Krishna. On another seminar, I'm just talking about what I see saw yesterday on the Dandavat's website, which is the official website of ISKCON. It's funded by what do we see? Overcoming bad habits, and it gives an overview of the course. And again, there's no trace of Krishna. Now you may say, well, we can use all these things in Krishna's service, but it's also presented to the karmis as if that's what ISKCON is all about: leadership seminars, how to overcome bad habits. A year or so ago in America, there was a mass shooting in which some crazy guy killed a whole bunch of people, and a leader of ISKCON appeared on television and And the whole nation was shocked and distressed and was asked to, you know, what do we do? What's your advice? And he didn't mention anything about Krishna or even the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. We have to look within. We have to see what's in our hearts. It's almost as if avoiding Krishna, not even speaking Krishna's philosophy. Just something different altogether. And then we can understand why, it helps us to understand why Srila Prabhupada specifically founded this society called the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, even though he was advised to make it God consciousness or to make it more inclusive. Srila Prabhupada wanted to stress that this is Krishna. But here we see that there's not even sign of God. What to speak of Krishna? Now, okay, we may say, well, devotees, they're just trying to attract people. And when they're in a society of devotees only, they do say the right thing. Although there are instances of calling outright Mayavadis into the association of devotees and having them speak their garbage right out in front of all the devotees and being very nice to them and calling them, welcoming them, and not rebutting their philosophy even in front of the deities. So there are such things going on. So he may say it's a hook. We're just trying to bring people in. But it's a very dangerous hook because what I'm saying, recently I've been watching or listening to various videos of how I came to Krishna consciousness. Devotees speaking their stories, and many of them say I was attracted by the philosophy, but at the same time you can understand that they like reading Prabhupada's books, some of them said. But at the same time they say they like some other book which is highly promoted within ISKCON, but which gives a different idea altogether, which suggests that they didn't get the clarity from reading Srila Prabhupada's books that should be able to help them distinguish between what is Krishna consciousness and what is Mayavad. They didn't get that clarity because they don't get the same message clearly spoken within the society of devotees. They can't see the difference. And they say, well, I heard one say, well, my favorite book is such and such a book, which is written by an ISKCON Swami and promotes Mayavadis. Again, unimaginable that you could show that to Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada would say, oh, I'm very pleased with this. No way. It's very clear. There is a verse in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is pointing out to the Mayavadis of Varanasi the fault of what they're doing and why it's so bad. He says to them, Jibe nishta lagi sutra koilo beas, Mayavada bhasha shunale hoy saravanash. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that Vyasadeva compiled the Vedanta Sutras for delivering the conditioned souls. But if one hears the Mayavad commentary on that, he'll be absolutely finished. He'll be in a worse situation than if he didn't read it. So it's something like this, Prabhupada Shritya, Mayavad. Taking shelter of Prabhupada and saying we're following Prabhupada, but presenting something else. Now, why is Mayavad... There's another. Vedna Mania Bodh Hoilo Nashtik, Veda Shritya Nashtik Yabad, Buddha Kayadik. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, because the Mayavadis, the Shankara, followers of Shankaracharya, they're against Buddhism. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that the Vedas, because the Buddhists don't follow the Vedas, they are considered Gnostic, atheists. And the Mayavadis will agree with that. But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that if you take shelter of the Vedas and you promote the same kind of idea as the Buddhists, that's even worse. Because at least the Buddhists are clear that we're Buddhists, we don't accept the Vedas. But the Mayavadis are worse because they give the same kind of idea in the name of the Vedas. So similarly, if one promotes we're followers of Prabhupada but gives a different philosophy, then it's worse than if you want to be a Mayavadi, then go and be a Mayavadi and go to hell by yourself or with all your Mayavadi chums. But if we say in the name of Prabhupada and we promote Mayavad, then people who are attracted to Krishna consciousness and who revere Srila Prabhupada, if they come and in the beginning they're given this poisonous mix of chanting Hare Krishna and promoting Mayavad, then it's worse than just giving Mayavad. Mayavadis also chant Hare Krishna. Some of them, they won't object. Many of them don't like it. I've had that experience, but they can't object because they know it's according to Shastra. But this part they don't particularly like. So you may say, well, what's wrong with this if we get so many people to chant and put on tilak and become initiated? What's wrong if you have a little something just to attract them? But we are warned again, Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatra Vidhing Vina Aikantiki Hare Bhaktya Utpateya Eva Kalpate, that anything in the name of devotional service which is not exactly in line with Shastra is simply a disturbance on the path of pure devotional service. If from the beginning, as Prabhupada did, we make it clear that Mayavad is all poison, then from the beginning we'll get people who are aware of this. But if we don't say that, and we bring people in, then they may remain with that contamination, even though they're chanting Hare Krishna, and even though superficially they're acting as a doer. They become a karmi or a Mayavadi in the dress of a devotee. And if we habitually do so, then people will think that it's this kind of mixture of Mayavad and apparent Krishna consciousness is all right. In other words, it confuses the path so that people can't see the difference between pure devotional service and mixed devotional service. Just like we may say that, well, Shankaracharya, he gave this Advaitavad, Mayavad, all is one, I am you, you are me, well, I am God, especially I am God. Everything's all one, but I am God. I realized I'm, anyway, Mayavad rubbish, we don't want to discuss that here. So we may say, well, that had the point there was to bring people to the Vedic culture, and then gradually Krishna consciousness can be introduced. That wasn't done. Well, even Shankara himself, there's so much evidence that he was actually a devotee of Krishna. But generally, people, they take what they like to take from him. And he was especially promoting this Advaitavad. And later the Vaishnava Acharyas came and established, okay, accept the Vedas, this is the message of the Vedas. They made it very clear. The message of the Vedas is Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are all His servants eternally. We have to surrender to Him. So if we remain on the platform of Advaita, then we don't get the real Vedic message. So this hook is a very dangerous hook, because if we remain hooked to thinking that Mayavad and Krishna consciousness and all these Mayavadis and rapists, Mayavadis who are promoted, and then it's all the same, they're all good and they're all nice, then we don't get the real message, which begins, the Bhagavatam begins, dharma kaitavo projita atra. Cheating religion is kicked out here. And therefore we may say, just to encourage people in devotional service, your career is your devotional service, encourages them, but then they really think it. What happened now they're all quarantined? What happened to their career? What happened now they're all going to lose their jobs? Then your devotional service finished? Because you're thrown out of your job? Does that mean you're devotional? Then how is it a haituki, a pratihata? How is it unstoppable? If just by some little virus or some diktat of the government, your devotional service is finished, then it means it's not your devotional service. So there are many karmis in devotional dress means that, well, you may say, well, where are they? Who are they? But they generally go unrecognized as karmis. In this regard, I want to speak about Radharaman Charan Das Babaji. It's a very beautiful name, Radharaman Charan Das Babaji. He was active around the same time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He was a generation older than Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. He actually wanted to make Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur his disciple. So, Charan Das Babaji Maharaj, as he was often called for short, he was an educated man, educated in the modern system, the British system, like many people, the Kayastas. He came from a Kayasta family. He was well educated. And he left all prospects of material advancement to become a Vaishnav Babaji. And he did much to popularize Gauriya Vaishnavism among the educated class in Bengal. Even that Bhaktivinoda Thakur was doing, first of all, before Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, trying to revamp the Gauriya Vaishnava Sampradaya, or present that actually it's very good, although the misrepresentation of it, which is much reviled and hated by decent people, it should be hated and reviled, but the real path is a very pure path. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted to show that. And Babaji Maharaj did much himself to do that. He gathered many people around him by his saintliness, his humility. He was a very attractive personality, like some people thought he's like a new incarnation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He radiated love and compassion, sweetness. He loved kirtan. He loved to discuss the pastimes, Krishna. He founded so many centers. Actually, his successor, Ram Das Babaji, did that even more. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was so much against him. Why? What did he do? He was such a nice devotee. But he was so envious of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that the very chanting of the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. I'll say that again. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. This very chanting which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought, the very means that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought to deliver the conditioned souls, he said, don't chant it loudly. And he invented a new mantra. He was so envious of the conditioned souls and of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he said we shouldn't chant loudly, although it had been going on for generations prior to that, and all the Vaishnava Acharyas had accepted that. But he was so puffed up that he gave a new mantra that he invented. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was so much against him. It should have been obvious to anyone who studied the books of the Vaishnava Acharyas and knew their philosophy. It should have been obvious. You can't just throw out Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Maha Mantra and invent a new one. He didn't totally throw it out, but he said that it should be chanted only quietly, not loudly. But most people, it seems, thought, he's so saintly, he must, whatever he says must be right. And how can we speak against him? How can you make an offense to such a sadhu? And Saraswati Thakur opposed vehemently, but he was only a young man, relatively young man. Saraswati Thakur was only a relatively young man. And at that time, he didn't have any disciples or followers. And people thought, well, who are you? Who are you to criticize this great sadhu? He's doing so much for Gauriya Vaishnavism. Superficially, he was. Now, there's one reason I understand why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur founded his teaching. Actually, more than founding so many mutts, he was interested in establishing the philosophy, the proper understanding of what is Krishna consciousness and what is not. Everything he did was on a very strong basis of Shastra and proper understanding of Shastra. Even then, these people, the followers of this Charandas Babaji, they also publish books. Up to the present day, their followers publish books, which are Shastric. But that one thing spoils everything. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he made a very strong philosophical base, Shastric base, to establish what is the actual path of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You just can't do something that you like, as you like. It has to be in line with Rupa Goswami, Rupa Anuga Viruddha Dhanta Harine. We offer our prayers to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Rupa Anuga Viruddha Opposite Dhanta Dhanta Harine. Those wrong ideas which are opposed to the proper understanding given by Rupa Goswami and his followers. He was the deliverer from all of that. We pray to him like that. So unless that was there, unless it was made clear what is right and what is wrong, then naturally people may be attracted to that which is not right because it seems very nice. Whereas Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, superficially he might not have appeared to be very nice. He was very strict. But if it wasn't for Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's establishing what is the actual path of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, very strongly. Even Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had written so many books, he had done so much preaching. But toward the end of life, he lamented that everything he'd done was getting lost because so many bogus people, and they joined the group that he was trying to make of Shuddha Bhakti and hijacked it. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was so strong and so heavy, having seen that unless you're very clear and uncompromising, then people will take advantage of your preaching efforts to promote their own ideas or to promote their own what they desire. They'll take advantage. They may do so in a very gross way by enjoying the assets of the institution. They have tilak and they have nice first-class dhoti and They're managing everything very nicely, but we can see that some temples, actually most temples in India, they are run as family institutions. They run the temple, the pujari runs the temple, and then he takes for his family, and that's accepted. And there's nothing wrong in that if the pujari is fully dedicated to the service of Krishna. But there is something in that if he just sees wrong in that if he sees it as a means of income. Or someone may be posing as a devotee, but there's a mixed motive of I'll promote myself as a big man and so many things. So there are various ways in which someone can pose as a devotee, but actually they have ulterior motives. Well, in one sense we could say that about all of ourselves, because we're not completely pure devotees. I should see you all as pure devotees, but due to my not being a pure devotee, I don't. We all have contaminated desires in our hearts. Therefore, from the very beginning, it should be made clear what is it that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Rupa Nogaviruddha Apasiddhanta Dvanta Hari. What was that Apasiddhanta? The Apasiddhanta, or the wrong conclusion, is any conclusion that goes against the principle of Rupa Goswami. That's at the beginning, at the very beginning stage, what we learn in the very beginning stage. Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karma dhyana avritam anukulyena krishna anushilanam bhaktirutam. That we are supposed to be cultivating devotional service only in the mood of doing everything for Krishna, only for Krishna's pleasure, which means not any personal desire, I'll be a leading devotee and have a big car and big house and it's all for Krishna. That's pretty gross. But there may be also very subtle that I want to become famous as a big as a spiritual leader. I should go down in history. I should be known as a good sadhu. So it may be that, one point I should make, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, getting back to that, that if Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur hadn't been so strong, then the Gaurya Vaishnava Sampradaya would have been lost. It required that kind of clarity and intensity to say, this is the right path, that is the wrong path. So, it is possible that someone can be a very saintly person, kind, very sweet in the way he deals with people and speaks with them, never criticizes others, not after money for personal comfort, attracting many people to chant Hare Krishna. But you may say, well, that's what more do you want? That's perfect, isn't it? But if at the same time someone brings in Mayavad into the Krishna consciousness movement as if it's okay, acceptable, or promotes bodily welfare work, or such contaminations, that's far more dangerous than coronavirus. If you get coronavirus, your body, you may die. Nothing much lost. Anyway, you're going to lose it. But if we bring into the society of Krishna consciousness, which Srila Prabhupada worked for so hard to spread all over the world, if we bring in the contaminations of karma and jnana and personal desire, then the whole movement's lost. Again, the sampradaya is lost. The hope for pure devotional, for spreading pure devotional service all over the world, it's only ISKCON that can do that. But if ISKCON itself becomes compromised, that's much more dangerous than just losing a body. So many bodies. How many bodies do we lose one after the other? To remain safe from coronavirus, we're supposed to do social distancing, keep a distance from others. So to remain safe from karmi gyani mitcha bhakta, tate na hoy anurakta, this Narottam Das warns us that we should not be attached to karmis, gyanis, false devotees. So in the same way, we have to remain not in the association of karmis, gyanis, false devotees. But if we say, no, you can't say false devotees, it's offensive. If we say these things, we'll say, no, you're being offensive. You see, so saintly, bring so many people, blah, 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 blah. But that social distancing is required. In this coronavirus, we see it can be very difficult to have social distancing. If you're living in a family and you only have a certain space to live in, how are you going to have the social distancing? So it's very, very dangerous. So in the same way, we're all within this ISKCON society, and within the society, if there are karmis dressed as devotees, then we're in a very dangerous situation. It should be obvious, just like it should have been obvious, that Radharaman Charandas Babaji, what he was doing was horrendous. Don't chant Hare Krishna loudly. I'll give you a new mantra, which I know better than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Indirectly he was saying, I know better than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I know better than all the previous acharyas. And Bhaktisthan, who are you? Who are you to say anything? So he may say that, well, it should be obvious. Someone's bringing Mayavad and mundane welfare. Well, not mundane, it's not mundane. Somehow or other, it's not mundane, because it's done under the banner of ISKCON. Then but it's not just you put the sign ISKCON and all of a sudden everything becomes pure. You have to follow the principles. We see Srila Prabhupada again and again and again in his letters, he was writing to temple presidents, make sure all the members of the temple rise early, chant 16 rounds, follow the four regulated principles. Again and again and again, the temple president has to be strict. Otherwise everything becomes loose. And Srila Prabhupada said about the GBC, now the institution is depending upon you. So it should be obvious if someone's bringing contaminations in, but no, it's very saintly. You don't read the books. There are many karmis in the dress of devotee. Who is that referring to? Who could it possibly refer to? It must refer to those who are bringing in gross sense gratification, mayavad, anything which is not clearly and specifically anyabhilashita shunya. It must refer to that. But it's even so many big devotees who have been reading Prabhupada's books all their lives, they may not see this, and may become very upset. If I or anyone else in this movement was to say we should keep out materialistic and impersonalistic influences from ISKCON, everyone would agree. But if we say, hey, look, there's a clear case of materialistic and impersonalistic influence. No, you can't say that. Some disconnect there, isn't there? Somehow they can't recognize. Rahu was in the dress of a demigod, but he was only recognized by two demigods and by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Somehow or other, everyone was so many. Oh, we're going to get the nectar. We're going to get the nectar. So what does it matter if this demon also comes and joins us? What does it matter? The problem is that if the whole idea of distributing the nectar to the demigods and depriving the demons is because the demons will cause a big mess if they get it. They'll take advantage of that to push forward their own demoniac agenda. So therefore they should not be allowed to get it, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead partially allowed Rahu to get it was for his own purpose. But in general, the understanding is that the demons should not, they should be clearly distinguished from the demigods. Similarly, the false devotees, the karmis in the dress of devotees, they have to be recognized, and all anti-devotional influences must be kept out of the devotional society. Otherwise, it'll be a big mess, and everything that Srila Prabhupada came to establish will be topsy-turvied, as happened previously in the sampradaya of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.